Hey, welcome to the webcast, Into the Word Apologetics. This is John E. Coleman, your internet pastor. This is November the 1st, 2013. The first webcast of the month of November. We're dibbling and dappling into the holiday season already. Turkey Day, about 3 weeks from now, and whatever else is happening. Thank you for coming to my website here, coming to you from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California. Pastor John, your internet pastor, Into the Word Apologetics, which is the biblical alternative. Insights and updates from me, PJ. Before I really turn on these computers and start tallying up grades and finalizing reading papers that they forgot to send in to me, checking my email, making sure all my bills are paid. Oh, that's a task. This is going to be a very slow month doing anything, trust me. I'll be spending a lot of time at home, cleaning up around the house, and just straightening up around here. So it's going to be one of those weekends where I do nothing. Let's kind of fade out the music here. And as a matter of fact, we can out it out altogether. We don't need the music. Let's talk about it. How are you guys doing out there? You guys doing all right? I went to the 99 cent store yesterday to pick up a little coffee creamer. And as I was walking into the 99 cent store, there was a car, an older model car, pulling out. Some people in it, they look like, I don't know, Ukrainians, something. And the lady asked me that was driving the car, could I spare some money so that she could get some gas for her car. She was telling me that she and the girl in the front seat looks like to be about 14, 15-year-old teenager, and some gentleman in the back seat, I guess was her husband or could have been her brother, I don't know. They were homeless, sleeping in the car. I gave them $5, and I said, I hope this helps you get some gas. So she said, I really wish you can give me more than that. And I said, I wish I could give you $100, but I can't. And then I told her, I said, realize that you're not the only one in this squeeze. All of us are in this squeeze. And so I was going to suggest to her who to go to. And the first thing that she said, she said, please don't suggest for me to go to church people and Christians. Man, it literally blew my mind. Because she said, I went to them first, and I get absolutely nothing. Now, I looked at the way she was dressed. Of course, they're homeless, so the clothes aren't the cleanest. They're looking like, you know, hey, we can't go into a five-star hotel and take a shower and a bath. I recall last night I was watching the basketball games with Devontae, and they kept showing this commercial of one of the basketball players' homes. He was playing ball with this kid out in the backyard, had his nice little Jeep in the driveway, his bike and basketball thing. They're talking about future champs and LeBron James. That's who it was. And I thought about all that money. And then it took me back to the afternoon when the Ukrainian people was asking me for money to put gas in the car. We live in a very strange society. So what I did, I said, I'm not offering you to go to a church because they are not, because they're going to ask for Social Security and they're going to put you through the rigors. I said, we know that game. That's a business. That's a business. They're there to make business. They aren't there to really help anybody. They're there to promote their own existence. Now, trust me, when, and I keep going back to when I was, because I no longer do it, and I don't want people to accuse me of trying to say something. When I was pastoring a church, I was never like that. We had more services for needy people in the church that I pastor than services for people in the church. You just ask some of the people that knew me. My programs were geared to help people that were not church people, to show people that were not church people, that people that are truly driven by God are truly loving them. So I had programs set up like that where this lady and her family, if they would come in and even listen to the message, we would try to get some kind of shelter or care for them to stay. And then we would see that they are living under the constraints of what are helping them is supposed to do. In other words, can't be using no drugs and stuff like that. They have to be living a decent life. So I never had those kind of programs set up where people could come to the church and they would be turned away for food or any kind of money. Many times people would come to the building and ask me for money, and I would tell them, you can look at my wallet. I have no money. There's no money here in the church. I don't even handle the money. And if I did handle the money, I told most of the people that came through, I would give it to you because it's not doing me any good just setting up here. My overall concern was what you were going to do with the money after you got it. See, so you just don't arbitrarily help people like that. Don't think that church organizations are just there for you to go get money and you're not accountable to anyone. There has to be something that you have to do to prove that you're a noteworthy recipient of a gift. But anyhow, I thought it strange that the first group that she would speak about would be the church. But then I'm not surprised, because when people go to the Maoris, I recall when Morio went to them when he was trying to make it out into the high desert after he left my custody. And he went to church after church, Sunday after Sunday. He was living down there with his gal friend. And he told me basically his doors were slammed in his face. And I asked him, now do you understand? He said, yes. I said, do you understand why I do what I do? Also, this week I had a great week in teaching out at the college. As a matter of fact, I'm going to put together their quizzes and some more work. Since I'm here at the office all day, I can't afford to just jump in my little ride and go anywhere. Gas is too high. And even though I have a gas credit card, I got to pay it off. And so I'm falling behind on that. You know what I had to pay for gas this last month? Over $300 just for gas in my car. Can you imagine that? And I'm a single person living alone, driving to my job 3 days a week. And I think my Chevron gas card is so high is because sometimes I'm giving other people gas off my card, because it's getting real rough. It's getting real tight for people. And that's what PJ does. PJ gives of himself for other people. And at times it comes back and bites me. I don't know how to be a selfish person, if that's what you're asking of me. I don't know how to be selfish. I know how to be noteworthy, trustworthy, and all that. But selfish? Nah, I don't know how to be selfish. Selfish people. This is what I want to admonish you to do, because I've been doing it since I got rid of my little Sprint phone and got me one of those iPhones, right? Because I can listen to my own work. This is what I'm asking of you, because I'm doing it. I went to the marriage counseling page. And I'm going to go to it now on my website. I'm flipping into it. I went to the marriage counseling page. It's the one with me with the collar, sitting there with my lightweight natural. I think that picture was taken about, I don't know, maybe 2010, 2011. I don't know. I was a little younger. But I have been listening 15 minutes at a time. Or 10 minutes at a time, whatever that is. I've been listening to them, to the clips on the marriage counseling page. And what a wonderful page. I got 1,519 hits just on this page alone. And that's really not enough. I think if people were serious, this is all I want to say. If you want to know about marriage and Christianity and how that works, I highly admonish you to listen to that. to listen to every one of those clips, every one of them. And it is important for you, I think, if you're thinking about matrimony in the old-fashioned way, to listen to these clips. If you're thinking about marriage in the new-fashioned way, where this is money and a business arrangement and all that kind of stuff, are you forced to get married because somebody's pregnant or something like that? Well, then don't listen to that. Don't listen to my work. But I was listening to it. You know, every time I walk the dog, I put on a couple of clips. And not only are they very entertaining. I had forgotten what I did with the old music. I mean, I think it was, I forget which one it was, number 10, 11, or 12, but I have been having a blast listening to that, and I highly recommend that you listen to the marriage page. Now, the commentaries page, I just went into Bragging Rights Restored. Yeah, and then I got one called Give Me a Good Reason, Thank You, Lord. Oh, the Double Agents by me. And good things that I've written years ago. Keeping My Way Pure, Hail to the Chief. I mean, all these older articles that I have up here. Holy Living and Living Holy. Man, this was the November article. I don't know what year this was. But what an article. It was just fantastic. And then the changing of our church. Very interesting. I need to go back and read some of these things. So if you want some real good reading, go to those pages. What I plan to do when after I put up the slides for the philosophy class this morning and then start tallying up these grades and doing everything the way I'm supposed to do, hopefully I have a little time off this afternoon to do something for myself. I am a workaholic. I am that. I just thought that I'd give you some updates as to what's going on in my life. Now, my doc has me on some new medicine for my cholesterol. I hate it. It just made me sick as a dog yesterday. So I'm going to stop taking it, and I'll tell him I'm not taking that stuff. So I'm going to try to work on, if any of you guys have any suggestions how to lower my cholesterol without taking all this, these chemicals that these physicians give, if you got some natural things that I can get into, I'd really appreciate an email. Just flip it to me to lower my cholesterol, because I'm not taking this stuff. This stuff had me hanging around the toilet all day yesterday. It was terrible. Terrible. And I had to just make some food. And I'm not feeling like eating these days. You really want to know how PJ is feeling? I had a half of a breakfast salmon sandwich. I had half of that and about a cup of coffee and some fruit juice. That's all. I'm full to the brim. I can't eat anything else. Food is becoming very, very boring to me. And soup, that's what I'm thinking about stocking up on. Just having soup and, you know, something healthy for my body. Something that I like tasting, but generally, I'm getting old, and so I'm that way. That's the update with me. I'm fine physically. There's nothing wrong with me. I had a thing at the gym, but I have a treadmill and a workout thing here, so I'm going to cancel that. That's $29 a month that I could have in my pocket. But I like going around the gym, being around people instead of exercising at home. But I'm going to do it one way or the other. So, you know, it's about cutting down, saving every dollar that you have. Matter of fact, I'm looking out the window right now. of the Lucy Coleman studio in my neighbor's across the street, Hispanic guys tell me that it is hard as heck for him to find a decent job out there, and he's Hispanic. And of course he has a record, and so it's, you know, it's kind of difficult for him. And I want to talk about that a little bit also. You know, we always try to tell our young people to do what's right to get ahead, correct? But yet and still, the system so has them so jacked up and so far behind. Let's say the young man does something unscrupulous when he's young. By the time he goes through the court system, they're charging him so much money, so many penalties, so many of these strikes, that he can't get caught up. That's what happened to Morio and T. And I see that it's looking that way for Devontae also. They're so far behind, they can't get ahead. The kid was on his way to work, or on his way home, on his bike, and two thugs just comes up to him and slices his front tire and yanks him by the arm and attacks him for nothing. Just out of the blue. That's living in Los Angeles. It's getting terrible over here. I never thought that I'd live to see the day. We don't have roving bandits walking up and down the street terrorizing the citizens. I hope we don't come to that. But it's getting pretty rough out there for young people. And I can only imagine, the young lad was up this morning and off to work and to catch the bus. And I told him, that's what you need to do. You need to get back on that bus, stay off that bike, because it's too dangerous, especially at night in this city. And I also ran down to the young man. Hey, I'm a senior citizen. I'm not going to be jumping up in the middle of the night going picking you up. Gas is too expensive. I ain't got it. I was 21 once and on my own. You 21 once and you on yours. Do it. Just another thing that I was thinking about. Oh, PJ, you think too much. No. Come on, let me say it really. I mean, you know, maybe you're going to look at me and say, oh, well, you know, you got it made. You got a car. You're in a house. You got a little money coming in. You got a lightweight job. Wait a minute. How many years have I been working, toiling, sacrificing? Okay, submitting myself into the rules of the state, into the rules of God. I didn't live my life just, oh, I'm going to do this, steal this, and do that, and trick that. These youngsters have this idea, because since they were treated poorly, well, then they don't have to act right by the citizenry. It is no wonder that the police forces all around our country is taking this disposition against young people. Young people have been raised, if you can call it being raised, but they've been conditioned by their, I don't know who these people are that has responsibility for teaching these people how to do life. Somebody dropped the ball somewhere. That's all I can say. Surely somebody dropped the ball. And so, you know, once we're looking at situations such as that, we cannot be as judgmental as we usually would. How do we share? How do we share with this group? Consistency, I think. Just being consistent. The young man, he came in last night and he says, can I ask you a question? I said, sure. I was looking at the ball game. And he said, when I call you to tell you what my problem was, you seem to be disinterested. And I said, I am. You're a grown man. I've been giving you counsel on what to do. If you reject that counsel, you suffer the consequence of the counsel. You know what I told the young man? I told the young man before he went to work, you need a bus pass. It is dangerous on the street. You cannot ride that bike from my home to where you live. There are marauding, there are traveling thugs in the streets of Los Angeles seeking whom they may devour. because he said to me, he says, you don't have to worry about it because you're in a car. I said, right. And do you know how long and what it took me to have that car? Of course I'm in that car. And I know why I'm in that car. I said, but I told him, it's really not good for you to do that. You know, it doesn't make any sense at all for you to, to be on a bike at night, because it inevitably or eventually your luck is going to run out. And it ran out that same day. That's when he got attacked. So he wanted to ask me a question. And so I said, I've already told you. I only tell you one time. Secondarily, I said, I'm a senior citizen. I'm going on 70. My income is very tight and fixed. I can't just jump in that little sports car and drive all the way across town to pick you up because you work late. I said, I'm sure, you know what I said to the young man? And I meant this in love. I said, I'm sure in your 21 years of life, you have people in your family, people you know, friends who have wheels, cars that are far younger than me. And if they care for you and if they love you the way that I do, they will come to get you. But I said, respect an old man and don't ask him to get up almost 70 years old when he's been doing things like this all of his life to church people, all of his life. Every time church people would call Pastor John, if Lucy was here, she'd be behind me almost cursing me out, saying, yeah, tell him. Every time the church people would call me, I'm up and out of this driveway. I don't know how many times I left my house saying, Lucy, I have to go help them out of their dilemma. Well, how did they get in it? By not listening to me in the first place. Well, why would you go help them? As somebody's requiring some help. That's why I'm helping them, because someone requires that help. Because, see, that's the kind of person I am. But I don't do that anymore. I'm too old. My body is slowing down. My money's run out. I'm backed up against the wall. I refuse to take another pastorate because, you know what? Check this out, people. I love telling the truth on my website. I do. It is so easy for me to get another pastorate. Do you want to know how easy that is? With my credentials, I could basically walk in any good-sized church in South Central Los Angeles with my education and with my ability to do that, and could take a dying church, turn it around, and teach the people and go through all that stuff and be jumping in my car, blessing these people's lives again, blah-de-da-de-da-de-da-de-da, and the people would never get better and see how to get their lives together, and I would see myself as a charlatan, because in my heart I know that I'd hate doing that. Why am I doing that when these people can do this for themselves? Can I ask the question that some of you have been wanting to ask me but haven't? Okay, here it comes. John, what? Why didn't you come to this earlier? Well, following the evangelical plan, I thought that it would work. I thought that if I continue to work at giving the same message, the gospel, G-O-S-P-E-L, the good news, the words of God, that the human heart that loves to hear the words of God would embrace these words of God with open arms and heart. And after embracing such, listen to this, would in turn adopt these ideas into their own lives, and having done so, multiply these efforts in the community where they live, and so thereby. I taught them basics of the faith. you know, the upside down triangle, and just keep adding to what God is doing. I just knew it was going to happen that way because of the exciting venture of Christ in my life. Here is the big mistake that I made. And what I mean by mistake, I mean the big mistake that I made. I assumed that everyone that came into the church had the same kind of internal fortitude that I had when it came to knowing Christ and knowing God, only to be mistaken, that people have to come to that belief system on their own. I like the way the St. Anselm put it, and I share it with some of my philosophy students in one of the classes. And St. Anselm put it this way: I believe in order to understand. See, the great apologist said, you cannot understand anything until you believe it first. And I think that that's what the church has put last. They're trying to understand things without believing it. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? They would say yes. But they don't understand what they just said that they believe. See, I believe in order to understand because Christ appeared to me and spoke to my heart. Now, that was a true a priori experience. Now, after he revealed himself to me, believing took place. Oh, there it is. Now do you understand when you read the Bible what it means? Yes, yes, and I'm going to do it. Yes, my life gets better. Yes, let me go back to what I told the youngster. If you live like this, this is going to happen. You know, I told the young man, I told him, I said, karma's going to keep affecting you, and some of you may not like the term karma, but this is the way God has it in his jurisdiction. If you don't do, well, this is what I tell people. I don't care what religion you belong to. If you do wrong towards people, if you do wrong towards anyone and laugh and scoff at them, because a young man was saying to me last night, he said, when I was trying to tell you what happened, you laughed at me. I said, son, I was on my way to going to bed. You asking me, what was I doing? I told you, I'm going to bed. It's after 11 o'clock. That's what old people do. They turn off the TV, turn out all the lights, put their gun right next to them, and they go to sleep. That's what they do, and that's what I was doing. He thought that I was laughing at him because he told me that he got jumped. I said, you got jumped because I spoke it. I said, you got to get a bus pass. That's the way you stay. You get on the bus, and you ride the bus like all the other people in the city. They got cameras on those buses. Some of those buses have cops on it. And you're far safer than the middle of the night. So anyhow, you know, when people don't take my advice and then those kinds of things happen, I give no regard to them. I don't feel sorry for them. Well, that's the same way I feel about the church. I don't feel sorry for them at all. I see parents always repeating themselves to their children. Why are you repeating it? Tell them one time. I told my daughters, I recall they were, Delia was getting ready to go into junior high school, and Lucy told me to give them the talk. I said, okay, I'll give them the talk before they take the walk. And I laid it out. You come here pregnant, you're going to raise your own child. So you can play the hoe all you want to. This is what little boys want. This is what little girls want. I said, there's a little pleasure involved in it, but with that pleasure is great responsibility. And your pop and your mom are not going to take that responsibility on them. Do you understand us? Yes. Now, you can leave this house. You can do whatever you want to do. We ain't following behind you. I ain't giving a darn about it. But don't come to me when the bottom falls out. Check it out. Not once in this house did either of my daughters ever come to me like that, ever. Because I've always been right up front, told them the truth. Now, I do the same thing with young men. I tell them the same thing. Now, I said, y'all think that you you, Mr. Slick. I spoke about that a couple of days ago on a webcast. I said, you may thank you, Mr. Slick, but you got to be far slicker than that to get something over on me, because I don't believe in that. Ah, yes, my friend. Take the insights for what they're worth. If you got youngsters standing around you, you still have an obligation to tell them the truth. Tell them that the bottom is going to fall out. It's always falling out. I guess if I would say, what is the major conflict that I come up against these days when I'm fighting a culture that's going bad? It's the music culture. It's powerful. It's strong. Because they seem to take the music as the law. You know, if a rapper sings a song and says something, they kind of say, yeah, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. That's not the way it is. That's the way it is in this rapper's perspective. But it's not the way it is in the real world. In the real world, do you know how many people do not listen to that junk? Most people do not listen to it. Only the generation that listens to that stuff and allows that to tear up their minds finds themselves listening to it. But most people do not listen to that. They just don't. And I can't listen to it and concentrate. I don't know how anybody can. The only time that I can listen to that is, and you know what, when I look at a basketball game and what they're doing is they're playing more and more of this music and everything, because that is the music, that is the world's music today. And so these young people are caught up in this. So we're living in those times. We're living in those times. Just tell them and hope that they have sense enough to understand what you're saying. I'll do a webcast probably tomorrow. I just wanted to give you a little update on this, and that's it. Don't have to talk long. It's 32 minutes into this. I have a lot of work to do, so let me clear out all the work in the office on this Friday, and then hopefully by the end of my workday here, and I have a ton of it to do, I'll probably do a webcast that makes a little bit better sense. Okay, God bless you. You know the drill. Stay in the Word.